So tonight we'll start with the last 8 or 9 psukim from Perek Gimel, and if we have time, we'll do the first 9 psukim of Perek Dalet. Okay. They're really very different parts. Okay, so we'll see if we can get to it all. So the last 8 psukim or so of Perek Gimel, so it's basically the idea of wisdom and the ethical life. Okay, we're in the continuing from last week. It's showing the value and the benefit of wisdom and engaging in chachma and all the, you know, working through. And one of the benefits of chachma is it directs you onto an ethical life and shows you the consequences of leading an unethical life and why you should avoid it, things like that. So it's kind of, these psukim are really unique. These psukim are very, that we're about to do, I mean, not unique in the sense of Mishlei, because there's 20 prakim from, you know, Perek Yud to Lamed that are basically filled with this. But it's unique in the sense that, like, these psukim, they're very reminiscent of those psukim. Okay, that, you know, almost each one of these could be a pasuk in Perek, you know, Tesvav. Okay, so let's start. I'll start with Chav Zayin, Perek Gimel Chav Zayin to Lamed, and then we'll go through the psukim one by one here. So it's Al Timna Tovi Bailov, do not withhold good from its owner. Biyos le'el yadcha lasos, when you have the power in your hands to do something. Al tomer l'riacha leich v'shov, don't tell your friend go and come back. U'macharetin v'yesh itach, right? Don't tell him go and come back, I'll give you tomorrow. When you have it, you have the money, don't tell him come back tomorrow. Okay. Al tachrosh l'riacha ra, do not plan. Do not plan evil against your friend. Vu yoshel betach itach, and he's like sitting securely, confidently with you. Al tariv imadam chinam, don't fight with the person for nothing. Im lo gemal chara, if he didn't harm you, if he hasn't already harmed you at first. Okay, so it's like clearly 4 psukim that are, you know, related. They're very in the similar points of teaching you ethical directives. So, like, you know, if you're familiar with the you know, the 20 prakim, towards the end of Mishlei, so you'll see that these psukim are very similar to that. Okay, so what is the idea? Okay, but the idea is even though that this is, like, you know, these psukim are not really the heart of the first 10 chapters of Mishlei, of what they are, there's still, like, you have a sampling in these 10 prakim of some of the derech that chachma can put you on in terms of an ethical life, of what's a of the value of an ethical life and the consequences. So let's take a look at Rashi. Okay, like this. Al timna tovi bailov, pasuk chav zayin. Im ra'isa chavercha chafetz lehitiv aniyim, al timna ehu. Okay, if you see your friend wants to help a poor person, don't stop your friend. Biyos le'el yadcha lahachdilo, when you have the ability to stop him. So sometimes you're in a position where you have the ability, where somebody wants to do tzedakah, huh? And you can stop him from doing it. Okay, why would you stop a person from doing tzedakah? Sounds crazy. What do you care if he gives tzedakah? Okay, I think it's the hardest Rashi that we're going to do tonight, probably. But it's a strange thing. Is it, what would be the motivation, right? I don't really know. So I can speculate a little bit. Is that sometimes, you know, you might want to feel that you give more tzedakah than the next guy. It becomes a competition. And therefore, even though he's really doing a good thing, there might be some motive that you have to stop him from doing a good thing, because it reflects poorly on you. It makes you feel bad about yourself. You should really be giving more. People won't look at you in the same way. And it's a mistake to do that, because really when somebody else gives tzedakah with their money, they benefit the whole society and they'll benefit you. You know, you're thinking like a very short-term selfish way of how it's going to reflect on you, but you're not thinking of the overall good to the society that you're a part of that will benefit from the tzedakah he gives. Okay? It's a hard shan rashi. I'm not exactly sure if it means something different, but it seems to me that's one way to take it. Okay, davar acher, what's the other shot? Another alternative. Yeah, go ahead, Donnie. Okay, fine. So on the davar acher is al timna tov mibaylev tzedakah min ani, do not withhold the good from the ani. You know, charity from the ani. Bailiv means, the bailiv is the ani. It's like the ani deserves the money. He has like a right to it, in the sense that there's, you know, social justice. Okay, maybe it means a little something different nowadays, but is that there's idea of like there's a real chiyuv for an asher to give to an ani, right? It's he deserves it, he needs it, he has basic needs. You have extra money, and he has basic needs that he doesn't have enough day masro. So you really have an obligation to give it to him. Okay. Biyos le'el yad chalasos, when you have the ability to give, tztaka. Shema yavo yom ve'in le'el yadcha. Right? So maybe the day will come and you don't really have that ability to give just because you have the ability to give now. Okay? You might not always have the ability to give. You should give tztaka when you have that ability. Because the tztaka that you give, like that's what I think we even explained here, is tztaka tatsan and mavas, is that when bad times happen, the tztaka that you give is really comes back to you. People remember that. They appreciate the tztaka. You develop reputation. And when a crisis happens, when really bad times happen, your best security doesn't come from any money in your bank account. It comes from other people, the people in your community who will take care of you. When there's a shortage of food, the fact that people are willing to share, you create a certain society when you give tztaka, and you also have people have certain reciprocal relationships. So, you know, when the bad times come, you might not have any money. And then what will help you is the fact that you gave tztaka when you did have money. But if you didn't give the money when you had it, now when the bad times come, you're screwed. You don't have, there's nothing you can do about it now. So it's you have to have foresight that if you have the means right now to help other people and to give them tztaka, then you have to take advantage of that and use your money in order to help them. And in the long term, you'll be better off. And if you try to save the money, you're looking for security from your money, then you're going to, the times can change where the money's not going to give you security. And at that point, it might be too late for you. You might not even have the money. You know, the government will seize your money. Who knows what will happen. And at that point, it's going to be too late to help other people and even to help yourself. Okay. And then Rashi says, V'chein. Okay. And the same thing, V'chein, the next pasuk. Al tomer l'reacha lech v'shov v'machar atein. So you shouldn't tell your friend, go and come back and I'll give you tomorrow. V'yesh itach. So don't tell your friend, Rashi l'ani, v'yesh itach, ma titin lo. Rabbi Sein apirshu lech v'shov al schar sacher. Okay, so either means it's a similar thing of by the ani, it means don't just delay it, even if you plan on giving it, but you just want to give it tomorrow. Like you're just pushing something off. Like sometimes a person has an emotional resistance to something that they're going to do anyway. And then they push it off and they want to do it. You want to give the tzedakah to ani, but because you have a resistance, you'll push it off. But then you're not going to be able to do it later on. And then, like we said, all the bad things happen and you know you should give it and you want to give it. So if you have something that you're going to do, you know you should do it. It's the right thing to do. It's the ethical thing to do. It'll benefit you. It'll benefit others. But you have a resistance to it, oftentimes because it costs money. You can't. You shouldn't. Chachma tells you, look at the consequences. Don't delay it. Don't push it off. You want to do it. You're going to do it. And by pushing it off, you create the chance, the opportunity that something will interfere and intervene and prevent you from being able to do it. So Chachma dictates that you take advantage that you. When there's something you want to do and you have the ability to do it, you should do it right away. Because the longer you delay, the more opportunity you give for things to intervene. Okay. And the chazal that Rashi quotes is referring to schar sachir, is when you have a hired worker, you should pay them. It's like all the more so. It's dealing with not just tztaka, but mishpat. Like if you have an obligation to pay your workers, you have a debt, you're going to have to pay them. One way or another, you're paying them. And it's surprising this happens to people, but people have resistance. They have bills, they owe doctors, they owe, you know what I mean? They owe people money and they push it off. You know, it's like, there's certain people if you're ever in a situation where you've collected money from a group of 10 people, everybody's going to get a gift for the teacher. I don't know, whatever the thing is. So you're the point man, you're running the operation, you're collecting from everybody. So like, you know, everybody's got to give and eventually they're going to give. They're just like a hassle. You got to chase them down. You got to text them over and over. You're going to have to call them. Like, it's crazy. They you got to give. You owe the money. You pledged the money. Everybody else gave. Your name's on that little thing. So what, you're not going to give? You are going to give. It's just, but you have a resistance. And therefore, you delay it and you push it off and things like that. Yeah, but then by the time, you know, a month later, you might not be able to give the money. Now everybody hates you because you stiffed everybody. And you didn't want to stiff anybody. You just have a resistance. Okay, so it's even worse. It's a similar, it's even worse that staka, you might want to do it ultimately because you know it's a good thing, you know it'll benefit you, benefit your society, you it's a mitzvah, things like that. But mishpat schar sacher, if you, you know, somebody comes to your house, he does a job for you and you have to pay him, you're gonna pay him one way or the other. I mean, unless you're a real goslin, you know. That's like, I mean, I guess there's people like that. But it's not talking about a goslin. It's not saying somebody, come back tomorrow. Why come back tomorrow? You have the money today. Go get your checkbook. You have the money today. What is going on in your mind? It's just you have an emotional resistance. And if you have chachma, your mind can overcome and say, look, I have the resistance. I know I don't want to. But since I'm ultimately going to do it, I'm better off doing it now than pushing it off and maybe not being able to do it tomorrow. And then the check will bounce and the guy's going to hate me and I'm going to be a goslin. It's a disaster. So it's again, these are not deep concepts, super deep concepts. They're basic, but nevertheless, people make these mistakes. They make mistakes in life in terms of not using chachma, not guiding the life by intelligence in order to plan out their actions. And they make these mistakes. They follow their emotions. They let these resistances, attachments to money, things like that, at least delay them from doing the proper thing, and they expose themselves to a lot of other risks that they really don't want to take. And chachma can open your mind to why that's not a reasonable way to live, and you should, if you have the ability to do something good that you're going to do anyway, you should do it now, and it'll protect you from a lot of sorrow, a lot of problem, bad reputations, doing averas and stealing and things like that. It will. Chachma will protect you because it will help you see into the future, understand the consequences, and understand the problem with delaying things. Okay, again, not deep, but it's, you got to realize that what we're doing here, we're trying to appreciate the value of wisdom, why you should acquire wisdom, what's so good about it. And one of the things is it just tells you how to lead life. It tells you how to lead life, and it'll direct you onto a good ethical life, which will be good for you. Yes. Why these examples as opposed to any other ones?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. There's something very strange about these psukim. They're really psukim that belong, you know, from the last 20 chapters. There's something unusual about them. They really stand out. I don't know. I don't know why it's these ones in particular. I don't have an answer for that. maybe there's something that a person can easily appreciate. You know, you don't really have to decode these psukim. You know, a lot of the psukim from those 20 chapters, you gotta spend a lot of time, you gotta translate the psukim, there's different perushim. Like, I mean, I didn't really look around too much for focusing on Rashi, but like, these are pretty straightforward psukim, and they're kind of the ideas that if you tell somebody, they'll understand them, they'll hear them, and they can appreciate why, yeah, if you use a little wisdom, you can overcome an emotion, it will benefit you. So maybe that's like, these psukim are very straightforward, and they can, a person can appreciate why they really lead to a good ethical life, and they're good for the person. You know, as opposed to, the idea here is not to find cryptic psukim that we don't know what they mean. The idea here is to show, we're trying to demonstrate the value of wisdom by showing how wisdom can put you in an ethical life that will benefit you, not to teach you tremendous insights into, it's not to see the insights that wisdom is giving you as much to appreciate the overall idea that one of the benefits of wisdom is it will put you on an ethical way of life, which will benefit you. You're saying, as much as we're not analyzing the ethical way of life with wisdom, as much as using examples that are, can easily demonstrate the value of wisdom. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Like, yeah? Okay. Okay, and the last pasuk here for Lamed. Al tariv im adam chinam im lo gamal chara. So don't fight with a person for nothing if they haven't done anything bad to you. So, I skipped one. Sorry. Chavtas is al tachosh al reach hara. So Rashi says, "Al tachshav," right? Don't think. Come up with plans. In a zazm mashmos charisha, ma der hachorish mechin makom lizman zriya afachoshev ra mechin makom tachpulz v'libo ech yamod v'yase. So it really means like machinations and real plans. Like you're really planning against your friend. V'hu yoshev lebetach itach. And he's like secure. He thinks you're like you're a good friend and he trusts you. And you're really sitting there thinking like, how am I gonna, I'm gonna turn when this, when I don't need this guy anymore, I'm gonna stab him in the back, you know, jack in the back. Okay. When he doesn't need, when I don't need him anymore, when the opportunity comes, throw him under the bus. Okay. And right now, basically you have a secure relationship. He relies on you. He trusts and you have a relationship, but you're basically using him. You're treating him entirely as a means to yourself. And as soon as the opportunity comes where you're better off betraying him and stabbing in the back, you're planning in advance. How am I going to, when am I going to get rid of this guy? When am I going to, you know, right now he's useful to me as a friend and a confidant and I can trust him in him or whatever it is. But as soon as the opportunity comes, I'm going to, you know, drop him and throw him under the bus and save my own skin and things like that. And it's a bad idea to do, even though you think you're acting, you know, Machiavellian in terms of your own best interests and you're, you know, you're all calculating on how you're going to benefit yourself. But I mean, first of all, you know, you do that, the guy's going to harbor aggression towards you. He's going to want to get you back. And people see you, they see how you act and people aren't stupid. They realize if you do it to him, then you're going to do it to them. And then they're not going to trust you, you know, so you lose your credibility. You lose your other friends. You know, when you stab one friend in the back, your other friends see you and they say they can't trust you. Because you really think you're this big calculating chacham who's going to, you know, take advantage of everybody else. And as soon as you don't need them, you're going to drop them. But if you have a real chacham and you have real insight, you realize that there's, you know, play the long-term game. And the long-term game is develop a reputation of being somebody who's trustworthy. As opposed to, you know, losing your credibility. Everybody thinks you're a bad guy. The people you stabbed in the back hate you now, and they try to get you back. You know, it's the unethical way of life really has, you know, subtle but long-term negative consequences, which will prevent you from really being successful in life. Okay. And like, look, it's obvious it's an unethical thing to be thinking, you know, a person's trusting you and you're planning on how you're going to get him back. But, you know, Chachma will show you how, why exactly that really undermines your own success. Okay. And, okay. And finally is Al Tarivim Adam Chinam Im Lo Gemal Chara, is don't fight with a person for nothing if he hasn't done something wrong to you. So Rashi says, he's loaning a lot, like you're complaining about the guy. If you in logam al chara, she avra mitzvah ksuba Torah v'after echa kamocha. V'mishu rasha rashaya telesona. So you're allowed to hate somebody who's evil. If somebody's done something wrong to you, then you're allowed to, if he's over on a daraisa, so you're allowed to hate him, right? Because he's a rasha. It's only somebody who's a reacha b'mitzvos. I think that's how they bring down by Naz Devarim. Somebody like calls you names and abuses you verbally, they say you're allowed to defend yourself. You're allowed to attack them back. Because once they attack you and they abuse you, then they're a rasha because they're violating a deraisa of Naz Dvarim. I guess the rasha is the same idea. Once the person's over after Echa Kamocha, then they're really not your friend. They're not treating you properly. They're a rasha, right? They're not acting properly. And then you don't have to treat them properly. Okay, the Torah is not. You see, part chachma is not. There's two sides to chachma. Okay, one is the idea of don't complain about a person's idiosyncrasies. Every person's got things that are annoying, that they have certain tics, they have certain habits, they do certain things that are annoying, that bother you. But they're not evil, they're not wrong, they're not unethical. They're just different personality traits and you know, they're quirky and they're annoying. You know, every person's got those things. But like you don't complain about those things. Don't tell the person. Don't even complain to that person about those things. Because all that's going to do is going to cause a fight. It makes the person feel bad about themselves. It undermines your relationship to them. There's nothing they can do about those things. And they're chinam, they're stupid. It's like sinas chinam. It's based on nothing. They're not really doing anything wrong to you. It's just this is the way they are. And you got your own problems too. You don't want them complaining about those things about you. And that's one thing of chachma, of being able to look past the things that don't really matter in life and not and just like are, you know, that strike your emotions in the wrong way and realizing it's not worth it. It's not worth losing a whole friendship and a relationship or a marriage over the fact that you can't let little things go. Okay. On the other hand, Chachma also tells you, we don't say a guy hits you, you know, turn the other cheek. A guy slaps you one cheek to turn the other cheek. We're not Christians, right? We don't hold by that. There is the idea of Chachma that if this person really does abuse you and they really are acting like a Rasha towards you, then you don't have to treat them properly. You know, with a Rama, you act like a Rama. We learn from Yaakov, you know, and Lavan. You know, so the Chachma realizes is able to split people into, there's two groups. There are people who really are Rishayim and they treat you improperly. And then you're not obligated to be a tzaddik towards them. You're allowed to treat them the way they treat you. Person does a nazdvarim, you do a nazdvarim to them. You're allowed to defend yourself. You don't have to be a victim and just keep being abused over and over. On the other hand, you have to be able to realize when you're not really a victim, you're not really being abused. It's just another person's annoying. They have annoying habits and things like that. And you don't get worked up over that. You do that, you're not going to never have any relationships. You're not going to have any friendships. Okay, so Chachma is going to, it helps you deal socially, helps you in the social sphere of making friendships and not being abused, taken advantage of by other people. Okay. I went through it fairly quickly, but I think the point is, again, we're not going pasuk by pasuk here, trying to really analyze all these examples to death. We're really just trying to get, like, and I know this crowd appreciates the idea of Mishle and these types of psukim, but, you know, this is the beginning of the book of Mishle, and it's trying to give an example of the kind of thing that Chachma can give you. Because, again, the bigger picture here is that Shlomo Melch is trying to contrast the Chachma of the Torah against the Minim, you know, the Isha Zona, the Isha Medaber Tapuchos, the con man, and the allure and the attraction of the culture of Odeh Zarah and their arguments to leave them. And it's trying to, you know, you have, it's trying to present Torah in a way where you appreciate it. So one of the values of Chachma is to, it helps explain to you the way that Derech HaChaim and then through the Mishle, what we call Mishle, the Psukim of Mishle, this is one of the values, one of the benefits. And I think these four Psukim are representative of that. Okay, so both Dani and Naomi, they're pointing out just the idea of trying to unify these Psukim into some overall structure of, Naomi's pointing out that it's like Midas Stone, where they don't have to get stuck on, they don't want people to enjoy their good stuff, then it has like a lack of justice, and then they're really having plans against people. And Donnie was saying there's like a progression from bad to worse, where it builds up from staka to mishpa to just thinking about bad things to actually doing them and fighting. And I hear the point. They're clearly a set of psukim. There is like a set here. They are structured in the same way where like the owls, you know, they're done and like they seem to be a set. Arguably, pasuk lamed aleph is part of it. I haven't done that yet. I'm going to make that part of the next set. And, you know, you haven't quite seen that yet. So you can probably, you know, should you really choose to work on these four psukim, it's really these five psukim, probably. Probably Lamed Aleph is really the last of the other and it serves as a bridge to the next section, which I'm about to get to. I think you guys are right that there is a better way to look at it in terms of a more unified idea. But I don't think I was ever able to quite, you know, I went over a couple times. I don't think I ever was able to get anything really solid. Part of the problem is Rashi doesn't really point me into anything that really shows a unity. I guess you have to be creative, which is fine. Rashi doesn't always tell you. You have to sometimes use your own mind here to do it. He just doesn't give me any hint. But yeah, I mean, I hear
maybe the hint.
I don't know what it is. So Donnie's suggesting a nice idea to try to unify them, that it's based upon like the idea of a hatarecha kamocha, that a person, like all these things have a common underlying flaw where you're really making yourself the center of reality and everybody else is secondary to you. So the ani, you know, you don't give him the money right away, or or your friend, for example, wants to give tzedakah and you're stopping him from doing a good thing. Why are you stopping him? It's like the most selfish act. You're stopping him from doing tzedakah. The ani needs it. He wants your friend's going to give his chas mitzvah. Well, like what kind of person are you to stop them? But you're stopping them because you have some psychological thing where it makes you look bad that he's giving stock up. You know, so it's like you're completely forgetting the benefit to society, benefit to the ani, benefit to your friend, and you're entirely viewing it in your own selfish framework. Or you have a worker who you owe the money to, and like you're not thinking about him. Like he worked for you, and he, you know, this is how he earns his living. How's he going to buy food for himself? And then you don't pay him. You say, come back tomorrow when you have the money, right? You're completely not thinking about his position in life. Or your friend one of the most obvious cases is here. Your friend relies on you. He trusts you. And you are harboring plans against him of how you're going to dump him and abandon him at the first possible moment where it's opportune for you. And you're just like, he thinks of you as a friend and you think of him as a means to your own advancement. And then finally, with the where if you're fighting with people for nothing, it's like they're annoying things. They annoy you because I guess it's a little bit harder, this one. But it's if they're over Latrich Kamocha and they're really Russia, they themselves don't have that idea, fine. But then you really should. That person really is a Russia. You really should reject that guy. But the guy who's simply, he is a good person. He just has these idiosyncrasies, whatever it is. It's like, it could be what bothers you about them is like, could be, I don't know, I'm speculating, but could be that what bothers you about a person's idiosyncrasies, the chinam, it's like they offend you. It's like your personal, you know, they're not doing anything objectively wrong, but like it bothers you. It's like you have subjective things that bothers you. They chew too loud. I don't know, these stupid things. And like it bothers you. Objectively, is there anything wrong with it? No, but like since it impedes upon you or makes it making a sound or whatever it is, it's like you don't realize it's like it bothers you on a subjective level. There's no objective problem with it. And therefore, but you take those subjective annoyances and you blow them up and you treat them as if they're like awful things. So you could try to say that there is an underlying idea that Chachma has for you, which we did see last week, of not letting your ego, not learning for your ego, of like basically Chachma gives you a perspective on the world. You know, the world was created through Chachma, the science is the science in the Torah. There's like one underlying system of Chachma that pervades the whole universe, pervades the system of Torah. So it could be that like the idea, the value of part of the value of Chachma and Bina and knowledge in general is that it expands your horizons and you start to realize that your existence is just one small part of a bigger universe. And, you know, you just, the world is bigger than you are. And then the reality is more, there's other things that are significant in reality, more important than you are. And part of the value of Chachma is it helps you have a more realistic perspective on your sense of self and your sense of ego. And it's not just through the fact that Chachma shows you consequences of bad actions and unethical actions, how it come back to you. But Chachma will also naturally help you have a more realistic perspective on your ego and your place in reality that will help you naturally relate to people as, you know, ends in themselves, not as means, you know, to use Kant's formulation. I think that's a nice idea, how you can possibly unify them, where it's not just consequences, but just like the very nature of involved in the Chachma, the appreciation of the Bria will make yourself, you'll feel smaller and you'll treat other people as people, not just as tools for your own advancement. So, okay, so now Psukim Lamed Aleph to the end of the parak, I think it goes to Lamed Hay over here. Okay, so al tikane beish chamas ve'al tivcha bechol drachav. Okay, so again, you could argue because it has the same structure as the prior four psukim. This is the fifth of those four psukim, right? Chav zayin, chav tes, right? It's the fifth one, but I'm learning it as the first of the next one. So it's do not be jealous of the corrupt man, and do not choose all his ways. Okay. Don't be envious of a corrupt person, and don't choose to go in his ways. Ki to'avas Hashem nalos v'as yisharim sodo, because it's an abomination for Hashem. A crooked person, a person with crooked ways, but with people who have straight paths, that's where God's secret is. So. Okay, that's a hard one. So that what that means, I don't know. Meiris Hashem beis Rasha. So Hashem's curse is in the house of Arasha. Or Hashem puts his curse in the house of Arasha. Unuvei tzadikim yivarech, and the abode of the righteous, he blesses. Hashem blesses the house of the house of the, you know, the bias of a tzaddik. Im laleitzim hu yalitz, if with the clowns, you will be a clown. If you hang out with clowns, you become a clown. U'anavim yitein chen, and with humble people, he will get he will give grace. Kavod chachamim yinchalu, so wise people will inherit honor. Uksilim merim kalon, but fools will separate for themselves, will bring to themselves disgrace. Okay. So how does Rashi learn these psukim? Okay, I'm trying to put them all together here. I think they were. Okay, so Rashi said like this. I think this is the key pasuk here is Lamed Aleph. So you, why would you be jealous of the corrupt person? Okay, so you're not jealous of him because he's corrupt, right? That's kind of pretty low level, and nobody really expects that. That's what's going on. But don't be jealous and copy Valtivchar b'chol drachav. Don't be jealous and envious of the corrupt person and imitate his ways because you see him being successful. Okay, and this is like I think the central idea that these psukim are going to revolve around is that yes, God made the world through chachma, and there are consequences to unethical actions, like we discussed, you know, what we've been discussing these past four psukim. But those consequences are very much long-term consequences. Okay, the way God made the world is that corruption leads to success in the short term, often. Not always. Sometimes a person who's corrupt and unethical fails right away. Okay. But frequently enough, a person who acts corruptly will seem to benefit in the short term. And the Rishayim are successful. They're successful in the short term. Okay. And that's what leads the Pesi and the Nar to really want to imitate him and imitate his ways and copy him. If you recall, I remember it was in the end of Perek Aleph, is that, or maybe it's Perek Beis, it's Perek Aleph, I think, of why Chachmo is, you know, crying out the problem of like this, you can't reach the Nar and the Pesi. They see the success and they copy it. And the only thing you could really hope for is the downfall of the Rasha. When the Rasha gets destroyed, then there's hope that people can learn from them. But when the Rasha is successful, it's like everybody wants to be like them. Okay, that's like a problem inherent in the world, is that corruption doesn't pay off, but in the long term, it doesn't pay off. In the short term, a person who cheats and steals and defrauds people, they might seem like they're doing better than everybody else. And that causes the person who's not able to really discern, the not in the past, they're not able to really discern long-term consequences, to be envious and jealous, and to want to imitate what the Ish Hamas is doing. Okay, why? Because Ki Tu'avas Hashem Na'alos V'Yisharim Sodo. So it's and Me'iras Hashem Beis Rasha Unevei Tzadiki Mivarech. So Rashi says he just explains what it means. It means Muvas Drachav. Na'alos means somebody who's the corrupt ways, and V'Yisharim Sodo. I don't really know what Sodo means. Is that It's true that God made that the Rasha successful, but the way God, I'm learning what it means, God, Tu'avas Hashem and Me'iras Hashem, is that because God hates corruption and evil and injustice and all these things, he built the world in a way that the Rasha and the Ish Hamas inevitably are unsuccessful and they'll be destroyed. Okay, and Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz. He made the world through chachma, and this is one of the benefits of, I shouldn't say, benefits exactly the right way. One of the consequences or the characteristics of chachma is that these things, when you act foolishly, when you act unintelligently, when you act unethically, and unethically is also, it's a type of foolishness, unethical, you know, of the behavior. It's that invariably these things will catch up to you, and the Russia will become cursed. And not just it's not just him personally, but it's his entire bias, his household, his money, his friends, the people who associate with him. Is that the curse? It's like there will be a curse clinging to him. Everybody associated with him. And eventually, you know, the Russia, the Ish Hamas brings people to him, brings the Nar and the Pesi. They want to associate with him. They kiss up to him. They want to work for him, and they want to be, you know, get positions that he can give them, and things like that. And basically, eventually, like the whole thing implodes, you know, and everybody, you know, kisses up to the Ish Hamas, and they think that he's a great guy and he's successful, and they want to have that success rub off on him, on them. And they'll copy him and they'll imitate him. They'll imitate his ways. They'll talk like he talks. They'll act like he acts. And they'll try to find favor in his eyes. But like Me'iras Hashem Be'ez Rasha is that house of the Rasha is going to collapse. It's going to be destroyed. It's you know, the people themselves will start to fight. Other people will try to take them down. They develop the Rasha. Ish Hamas creates a lot of, like we said, enemies. People want to take revenge on him. It's not the derech of shalom, and it doesn't lead to social respect. It rather leads to enemies and vengeance and things like that. And if you try to cling to the Rasha and you come under his sphere of influence, then you end up with Me'iras, the curse. Ultimately, there's a curse, Me'iras Hashem. The world is designed in a way that that house implodes and it takes down not just the Rasha, but everybody who clung to the Rasha and was associated with him. But the opposite is true of the tzaddik, right? The tzaddik is, he's blessed. He'll get bracha, right? You know, it reminds me of a Rashi I just looked at. Let me bring it in. I just saw Rashi at the end of this week's parsha. Might as well bring it in, right? So when Yitzchak says to Yaakov in Toldos, so he says, the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov, right? He says, those who curse you will be cursed. Those who bless you will be blessed. So Rashi says, it's Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Tes, in Atoldos. So Rashi says, so the way Bilam formulated, different than Yitzchak, Bilam formulated first the bracha, those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. So Rashi says, Hatzadikim Tchilasim Yisurin, V'sofan Shalva. So tzaddikim, the beginning of their life, it's suffering, it's pain. You know what I mean? The tzaddik, to be honest, he's got to pay his workers on time. All right, he doesn't have the money. You know what I mean? He gives tzedakah, so it seems like he doesn't have the extra money to buy to go on the vacation, things like that. But v'sof and shalva, but ultimately they benefit, right? Kavod chachamin chalu. We're going to get that pasuk, right? But v'areyim mitzaret o mitzareyim kodim v'arecheyim. And the tzaddik, the Rishayim hate the tzaddik and they attack him and he suffers. He has to deal with all the, you know, in the beginning when he has to deal with it, Yaakov has to deal with Esav. But, and that comes and eventually, kum v'rechayim, so, but eventually people appreciate the tzaddik and they mevarachim. Levigach Yitzchak hiktim klalas orim lebirchas mevarachim. So Yitzchak was a tzaddik. So he set up this way. First you deal with arecha aror, mevarecha baruch. First you have the aror because that's what happens to the tzaddik. First, people curse him, they attack him. He has to stand up to society. Society wants him to, you know, do one thing, and he has to be willing to go against the crowd. And people, you know, say, "What are you doing?" But then eventually, they realize that he was right, and he guided them properly. And then they all bless him, and he has a great reputation. But Rishayim, but Bilam, Chilasim Shalva Sofin Yisurim. It's the opposite. The Rishayim, they're the beginning, they have prosperity, they're successful. And in the end, they suffer the Yisurin, the Fikach Bilam, Hikdim Bracha Lakala. Right? So the same idea. Same idea as the Rashi and Toldos is these psukim. Is that there's a counter, I don't know if it's exactly counterintuitive, but it's like the opposite of almost the way you would like it to be. By the tzaddik, it's like he's going against society. He's going against what people necessarily want. He doesn't just cater to popular opinion. And really, he suffers in the beginning for that. But in the end, because he's following Chachma, he'll be successful. And then people will appreciate that and appreciate the fact that he was willing to stand up to people and he was willing to do what was right and do what was ethical. And they'll reflect upon that and they'll really appreciate that. They'll realize what he did. But the Rosh is the opposite. The Rosh gives into his emotions. He caters to society. He takes shortcuts. He cuts corners. He does unethical things, and he's successful in the short term. But in the end of the day, Meir is Hashem based Rosh. Him and everybody in his household, they'll be destroyed. But the tzaddik, in the end of the day, he'll have bracha, and everybody who associates with the tzaddik. Okay, it's not just the tzaddik; it's the ones who associate with him, and not just the Rosh, it's those who associate and copy him. Okay, so Shlomo is telling you, don't copy the Rosh. Don't think that if you don't be fooled by his success. Don't be fooled by his success. You have to look at the long run. Okay. Im laleitzim, right? If Rashi, im laleitzim adam nimshach achareihem, if a person is drawn after these clowns, these scoffers, you want to associate with them, you think they're cool and they have great lines and they're the cool kids, then who yelits asof, in the end, you'll become like them, you'll become a clown just like them, a scoffer. Afu yelitzim ayam, ula navim yitain chayim. But if you associate with humble people, now maybe they're not the cool kids. They might not be, you know, they might not be the late sin. They might not get all the attention of everybody in the beginning. They might not be, you know, as successful. They might not be as popular in the beginning. But so she knew mice of chen beinam shabrios. So if you associate with the people who are humble and they're anavim, even though they're not as cool, so then you'll pick up on their mannerisms and their way of speech, and you'll You very much are influenced. Again, it's not a deep insight, but it's in a certain sense it's deep. You become like your friends. Do you know what I mean? You choose friends who are like you to some degree, but to a large degree, you choose friends by people who you think are successful, and you're not making a calculation of you will become like the people you associate with. And if you just choose to hang out with the people who are cool and have money and they seem like they're successful and they get the good stuff, then and you ignore their ethical character, then you're basically setting yourself up to become corrupt like them, to become unethical, to start talking like them and acting like them and treating other people like they do. And if you instead look past the short-term success and the superficial materialism of what makes people attracted to the leitzim, but you realize the core characteristic of a good people and who are good friends. They have integrity and they're humble and their egos, they don't feel like they're better than everybody else. You know what I mean? Like if you stop trying to kiss up to the Russia who thinks he's better than everybody else, but hang out with the people who are just as good as you. They like you. They're friendly. They don't feel they have to put you down. And you hang out with them, you'll become like them, right? And by acting that way, people are going to appreciate you. They'll appreciate that you'll become an anav because you're hanging out with anavim. And even in the short term, you're not going to have the glitz and the glamour that the lates really gets for himself, and the cool kids really get not the prominence, but in the end of the day. You'll have much more, when you could grow up and you have get friends, people will appreciate you. They'll appreciate your personality. They'll want to be friends with you. They'll have chen. Everybody's going to like you. You know, everybody will like you. You know, it's the nar and the pesi. They're attracted to the lates. They're attracted to the success and the popularity of the cool kids, even if they're rude and they're mean and they treat people like garbage and they throw their friends under the bus. They backstab each other, those first four psukim, and that's the unethical way of life that gets you ahead in life. That looks like it's successful, and the nar and the pesi, he's attracted to that, and he wants to be like that. But then you end up copying them, and then when they fall down, they take you down with them, and you end up developing these horrible personality traits that nobody ends up liking. But if you hang out with the people who the tzaddikim, and eventually. Not in the short term, but in the long term, they'll be successful. Their success will spread onto you. You'll develop their personality and their character traits, and people are going to like you, and you will be well liked much more than the Russia. The Russia is going to be hated. It's true in the beginning, everybody envies the Russia, but in the end, everybody hates the Russia and they curse the Russia. Okay, bringing back to this week's parsha is why was not this week's? It's next week's, I think. Vayishlach. 2 weeks. Why was Rivka buried in private? Why did Torah hide? Rashi says, why does the Torah hide the death of Rivka is because basically they had to bury Rivka in secret in the middle, I think in the middle of the night. They had to bury Rivka because they didn't want to have a public funeral for Rivka. Rivka Imenu, she's a great tzedekis. Why didn't they want to bury Rivka publicly? Because she was the mother of Esav, right? And everybody hated Esav, and they cursed Esav, and they're going to curse Rivka. Is this the woman who gave birth to Esav? So Esav at some point had this terrible reputation. Yes, he was an Ish Sada, and he was a Tzayid, and he was the son of Yitzchak, and he was powerful, and he starts a nation, but everybody hated the guy. Everybody hated the guy to the point where if you were associated with him, his own mother, who was associated with him, had to be buried privately so that they wouldn't have public funeral because everybody, it would be a bizayon for her. It wouldn't be a, right? And Ramban explains because Yaakov isn't there and Yitzchak is blind. He can't help out. So who's going to be leading the funeral? It's going to be Esav. Okay, so it's a little bit more to that story that Esav is going to be very prominent at her funeral. But the point is you see Esav's reputation. How successful is Esav? He was leads the whole family and starts a whole nation and conquers Edom and right? And then the Chori, forgot the Chiti, maybe I forgot which one he knocked out of there. But he's a super successful guy. But in the end of the day, everybody hates the guy. Everybody hates him. And if you associate with those people, you're going to suffer in their downfall and you're going to pick up on their characteristic traits and people are going to hate you. But you hang out with Yaakov Avinu, then the bracha that eventually comes to Yaakov in the long run will come to you. It might take some time till, Bnei Yisrael get out of Mitzrayim, but when they do, that bracha will relate to the people who associate with them. Yisrael benefits from that. And you'll pick up on the perfection that the tzaddik has, the anav has. And I guess we've basically done this last pasuk also implicitly. Kavod chacham yinchalu, k'silim meirim kalon. Is that at the end of the day, the long-term effect of the tzaddik, of the chacham, is he'll inherit kavod, people will respect him. But the k'sil, the fool who doesn't appreciate this point, maybe it's good. Maybe it's like it's not referring to the tzaddik himself. It refers to the chacham who associates with the tzaddik, who associates with the anav. So they're going to get kavod because they're associating with the tzaddik. They're going to get the bracha of the tzaddik, and they're going to get the kavod that comes from being part of that society, part of that social group, and learning from the midos of the tzaddik. But the ksil, the fool who is attracted to the superficial ish chamas, the corrupt person, and he envies his ways and he copies him and he associates with him, becomes part of his bias, meirim kalon. He's basically taking disgrace and bringing it on himself. He's just asking to be humiliated. He doesn't realize it, but he's doing everything he can to bring upon himself total humiliation. Okay. And obviously that's, where we're not going to do Perek Dalet tonight. But again, the overall point here is again, there's twofold. One is, yes, the psukim are very nice and they teach you basic ideas about life and associating with people and ethics and not being thinking yourself as a center of reality, not envying short-term success. And these are important messages. But again, I think in the overall structure of Mishle, it's to appreciate that what gives you that insight is chachma. It is the ability to analyze something. And if a ksil who doesn't learn Mishle, doesn't understand how to analyze the world, without chachma, you are attracted to superficial things. This is the way the human being works. You're attracted to money and to success and to popularity and to all these things. And there really is no other solution. And that way destroys a person. You're led to your own doom. Ksilim meirim kalon. You're just going to, the very actions you do to try to promote your own success and to be cool and to be accepted and popular, those are the very actions which will bring disgrace and humiliation and make you rejected and hated by everybody. And the ksil is, I guess, in a sense, he's an innocent person. He's just looking for the good, but he just doesn't use chachma to get it. And therefore, the very actions he does to try to get the good, he ends up bringing the evil and bad upon himself. And it's just that's the way the world is. It's just, I don't know why God made it this way. He did make it this way. That there's the superficial attraction, the way your emotions go, the way your instincts and intuitions go, they do not lead you to where you want them to lead you, to where you think they're going to go. They lead you to the opposite, very often to the opposite. Megurus Rashi Tivoena. When the Rasha acts with his fears and he tries to avoid them, he does the very actions to bring them about. The same thing in the Ksil, he doesn't act with Chachma, his actions are counterproductive. And the only real solution to a successful life in the long run is to use Chachma and to analyze it and to realize what superficial success and what's long-term success? Who should I really associate with if I want to be successful, if I want to learn from their actions, and who should I avoid? And it's, again, it's appreciating the role of Chachma and the role of Torah. And Torah really tells you this thing is v'dafka bo, you cling to Talmid Chachamim, having misavik ba'afar ba'aglehem. It's, you know, it's Mishlei is breaking it down in terms of Chachma and explains it, but you know, you follow the mitzvahs in the Torah, v'after echa kamocha, and koveh schar sachir, and mitzvah tzedakah, and you know, I mean, it's, you don't even need, if you have the Torah, you just have to follow the mitzvahs. You almost don't even have to understand them. You know, you should understand them, but you almost don't even have to if you have the Torah. It guides you in this way of life, and then when you analyze it and you have a deep appreciation of what's so good about it. So, you know, these psukim, I think, are designed and geared to help you appreciate the value of Torah and mitzvos and chachma, how if you don't have them, you're really doomed to really destroying yourself. You're really counterproductive actions. And the only really way to be successful in life is to use chachma and follow Torah and mitzvos.